here. We are so thankful that we have some visitors here for the first time. And trust you'll find yourself at home, and we hope that you'll be blessed by being here with us. It has been good to be in God's house this week. Let me say thank you to all the prayer, the Cokes that you brought, the candies that you brought, for the gift cards for the Soldiers of the Cross youth rally. It was a great success in the eyes of God, and I am pleased as pastor to tell you you did great, and I'm thankful for your help. And so we're looking forward to next year, and Brother Carringer contacted me and apologized for not being here. Brother Carringer is no longer the youth pastor up there at Starlight. He is in evangelism now, but he still oversees the Soldiers Cross Youth Rally. So he asked me if we wanted to do it again, and I have not responded yet. So if it's something you think the church would want to do again next year, please let me know so I can take that into consideration. We let Brother Carringer know. I also, my wife found a pocket hand purse. Is this somebody's? That's yours, Brianna? Come get it, Brianna. Robbie. A friendly reminder to help us out, once you drop your kids off at the nursery, please go ahead and exit, standing there and holding the door open and looking at them in their pretty little blue eyes doesn't help our workers. So drop them off, move out. If you're not a worker, please don't go in the door at all, because to care for the kids, they might put you in a corner and put you in timeout. So be careful with that. All right, it's good to have Brother Robert Wilson and his family with us here this morning. They're missionaries to Guadalajara, Mexico, and they're going to come and sing and show us the slides and then preach for us this morning. So we're glad to have Brother Robert and his family. So Brother Robert, come on up and make yourself at home.
Hi, it's a blessing to be here today. I'm Robert Wilson, missionary in Mexico, and I'll introduce my family. Over here we have my wife coming up, my wife Annie. And she's originally from Brooklyn, New York. And then my son, Robert, down the end. And my oldest daughter, Veronica, who's 12. And Rosalinda, the youngest, who's 6. And Robert plans on going back to Mexico to be a pastor. That's his plan. And Veronica wants to be a missionary. And last I checked, I think Rosalinda wants to be a princess. But it's a pleasure to be with you today. And we're going to be singing for you. The first song is a song, it's a Spanish song that we translated into English. You probably haven't heard it before, unless you've heard the Rodaya song. And then the next time we're going to sing is a missionary song, but we'll be singing the last chorus in Spanish. So we'll be singing the first two times the chorus in English, and then the last time we'll be singing the chorus translated into Spanish. So we'll sing two songs back-to-back for you, and then we'll show you a short video of our ministry. Thank you. approximately 6 minutes and 40 seconds. And it shows our two churches. I'm pastor of two churches in Mexico. I pastor the Mount Calvary Baptist Church and the Mount Zion Baptist Church simultaneously. We have one church, normal services, I think just exactly like your services are here. And the other service has service on, the other church has service at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The new church we just started in January. Our other church, Calvary Baptist Church, just started in 2005. But the new church is just less than, just a few months old. We just started in January. So we're going to show a little bit of both of our churches that where I pastor, and I just show some videos, a little bit about that. And it's just a pleasure to be with you all today. So the video's ready, when is the video ready? And we'll show a video, short video, that shows our ministry, and then we'll get into the sermon. Once again, thank you so much.
Family, we are missionaries serving in Guadalajara, Mexico. In 2005, we started the Mount Calvary Baptist Church on the east side of Guadalajara. We started out in a rented facility where we saw many saved and baptized, and were able to establish a core group of people. In 2010, the Lord led us to buy a building just 2 blocks away from our rented facility. It was then just a shell, with only a partial tin roof that did not even cover the whole property. The walls were bare bricks. It did not look like much. However, we did not see this building for what it was, but for what it could be. We replaced the tin roof with a concrete roof that covered the whole property. We also plastered the ceiling and the walls. We added pillars and arches to make it more appealing, and we also put in a new baptistry with changing rooms on each side. We then installed ceiling fans and painted. And this is how our building looks now. To God be the glory for the great things He hath done. We have labored much to make our church as warm and inviting as possible. Psalm 96:6 says, "Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary." All of this is made possible with the faithful tithes and sacrificial giving of our members, and with the faithful support and giving of our supporting churches. Jesus said, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." I would like to present to you some of the fruit of our ministry. These young people are the result of much hard work. I host 2 annual teen camps for our church teens only. We also provide them a Christian school and keep them involved in our music ministry. I led Arturo's Abuelita's family to Christ in their living room. His family rapidly grew in grace. They all became Sunday school teachers in our church, but Arturo graduated from a local Bible college. He has now started another church on the other side of our city. I met Jonathan Avalos and kept inviting him to our church for several months. He finally came, and not long after that, God called him to preach. He is currently in Bible college preparing to be a church planter. Misael Mesa was our church song leader and an adult Sunday school teacher. He has now taken a pastorate in Tuxpan, Veracruz, Mexico. His new pastor is scribe. Ted Torres, pictured here in blue, began attending our church as a teenager. She went to Bible college, where she met Alfredo, pictured on the right, and they graduated. They are now serving as missionaries in Thailand. Brother Victor was one of the first men I led to Christ here in Guadalajara. He and his family will soon be attending college to prepare for the ministry. We recently started a new church here in our city. One of our church families donated a building to us 30 minutes away from our current facility. We held our grand opening service on January the 6th, 2019. To the glory of God, 60 brand new people came from the area to attend our first service. This new church will need a lot of work, as it does not have plumbing or electricity. Although the building was donated, another great expense will be obtaining the deed to the property. I am now pastoring 2 churches, Mount Calvary Baptist Church and Mount Zion Baptist Church. We are holding services at our new church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so as not to interfere with the morning or evening services of our other church. This new church is only 2 blocks from a major thoroughfare that runs through our city, putting many new neighborhoods within our reach. and we must reach them while we can.
Special thank you to Pastor Stockton for letting me share the pulpit this morning. I know it's not a light thing when a pastor hands his pulpit over to someone else. I'm very honored and very humbled by that. And once again, thank you. And it's a pleasure to be here with all you great people here in Florida. Florida, again, we've been traveling along the East Coast for the last month. My wife and I are on a my family is on a two-month furlough. We hardly ever leave the country. This is actually our first furlough. And the whole time I've been in Mexico, I've been in Mexico now for almost 16 years. We're in Monterrey for 2 years, and I've been in Guadalajara for 14 years. This is the first furlough we've ever taken. We waited until we actually had to leave. And just for 2 months, I spent a month in Chicago with my family in that area, visiting there, spent with my family, visiting the church in that area. And then here on the East Coast, we're staying with my family in Brooklyn. We came down here to Florida for a little while, and then we'll be heading out to Brooklyn tomorrow morning early, and then flying back to Mexico on Wednesday morning very early. So we'll be heading back to Mexico. We don't have plans to come back. I don't know when we'll be back. Like I said, we hardly ever leave the country. So it's just a rare thing that you're seeing us here in America. One thing, it's a real privilege to be a missionary for representing our country. One thing, we represent the greatest country on the face of the earth, America. And people in the world might have a misconception of Americans from Hollywood, from movies. But putting a missionary on the field puts a real living, breathing American family living among them, shopping among them. And we get to show them what Americans are really like, this compassionate, God-fearing, God-loving people. And it's just a privilege to represent our Savior, represent the churches there in Mexico. Okay, let's go to the Bible, the book of Lamentations, chapter 1. I'd like to share with you the heart of a missionary, Lamentations, chapter 1. And we'll read verses 12 through 16. Lamentations, chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. And we'll read responsively, if you could accompany the odd number of verses. And verse 16, we'll also read all together. So you'll be reading with me out loud verses 13, 15, and 16. I'll read the whole thing. You'll just accompany me with three verses. Lamentations chapter 1, we'll read verses 12 through 16. Once again, a great honor to be here and a privilege to be here in the church. And thank you for the pastor so much for this privilege to share with you the pulpit and the Word of God. Lamentations chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. If we could all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And I'll show you the heart of the missionary, the heart of a missionary, or the cry of the world. Lamentations chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. What we're about to read is the personification of the city of Jerusalem. This is after the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar, after he burned the city down, took the middle class people, the wealthy people captive, the young people to Babylon, and left the poor people there in the ashes. And this is the city of Jerusalem personified. Verses 12 through 16. God is comparing the city of Jerusalem to a woman that's been trodden down, beaten, thrown out into the street, and the people are just passing by, ignoring her. So Lamentations 1, 12 through 16, what we're about to read, is the personification of the city of Jerusalem. And the truth is, it can represent a lot of cities around our world. It can represent neighborhoods here in your area. If we just read the passage with me, you're going to accompany me, once again, the odd number verses, 13, 15, and verse 16, we'll read all together, because verse 16 is the text for the message. So 13, 15, and 16 with me. Verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done to me. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he has set fire into my bones, and have prevailed against them. He has spread a net for my feet. He hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand. They are reed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. He and the Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden down underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me because of my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comfort that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. And very interesting what it says here, for these things I weep, speaking of the city of Jerusalem, it says, I weep, mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. I'd like to speak to you about the cry of Mexico, we could say the cry of the world, the heart of the missionary. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd just like to turn the service over to you, because I know what I'm trying to do is impossible. I'm just a mortal. Human being trying to do something supernatural. I just can't. So I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak through me, that you'd use me today as an instrument, as a voice to your people. I want them to go home blessed and filled, and I cannot do that. But I pray you do it through me. I just give myself to you this morning. God, Spirit, take control of everything we do. And just say, pray, amen. You may be seated. Is it nothing to you? I'll even pass by. A world crying out for someone to help them. And who will go and answer the cry? God calls men to answer the cry. I think of the Arabic world. I think of the Muslim world. We know that as Baptists, that God wants everybody to be saved. God's plan for everyone to be saved. And God has a will for every person that's born. Now think with me for a minute. If that's true, then these millions of children being born in Muslim countries, is it God's plan that they grow up and be a Muslim? Is that what God has destined for them? So imagine all the people that God's calling to the Muslim world. And that's just an example. But the world crying out, God hears the cries of the world crying out. And God calls us to answer the cry. God's heard the cry of the Mexican people. And God has called our family to go and answer the cry. And that's what we've been doing. God hears the cries of the world. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 12. Here we have the Philistines, those pagan people. And here they're crying out in agony. They're not crying out unto the Lord. But God heard their cry. And God had compassion on them. God hears the cries of a lost and dying world. God hears the cries of the children, the teens, the adults. And God calls on us to answer the cries of the world. Just like Jerusalem crying out for somebody to help her, God heard her cry. And God sent Jeremiah. Jeremiah answered the cry. Jeremiah preached to Jerusalem. Jeremiah went to that battered woman and lifted her up and helped her in her time of need. But how many people across the world, just like Jerusalem and the story that we read, are crying out for somebody? And we have what they need. We have the answer. But we're too tied up in stuff that doesn't matter for anything. Lamentations, 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 12. 1 Samuel 5, 12. 1 Samuel 5:12. Here's the Philistines crying out, and they're not even crying out to God. But God heard their plea. God's great heart is moved for the people that are suffering. God's great heart is moved for people that are in agony. And God wants them to be saved. God knows that the answer to every cry is Jesus Christ. What they really need is Jesus, and then God calls on us to answer the cry. 1 Samuel 5:12. And the men that died not were smitten with the Ephrites, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. And God heard the cries of the people. Once he was just crying out in pain and suffering, and God heard the cry. The cry went to heaven. Another story, a more familiar story. Let's go to Genesis chapter 18. There ever been a time when you're reading your Bible and reading a passage that you'd already read several times, and a word suddenly jumped out at you and just grabbed you? That's what happened to me here in Genesis 18. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. And I read this passage several times, never thought about it. One time I was reading the passage, and one of the words in the passage just grabbed me. It just shook me. Genesis 18, verses 20 and 21. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they... That word they. Grab me. We'll get to that in a second. See whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. I believe what we have here in Genesis 18 is a theophany, or just the word that we use for appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. I just love that passage, Genesis 18. Jesus made reference in John chapter 8 to Genesis 18, how he knew Abraham. And Jesus said, how do you know Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. He said, yes, I know Abraham. He rejoiced to see my name. And I believe he was making reference to here, Genesis 18, where it says that Jehovah God appeared to Abraham. And it says that he ate with him. And he ate with him with two angels. And then, so here we have in Genesis 18, what I believe a theophany, or Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament, talking to Abraham. And then Jesus changes gears, says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says here, verse 20, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah was great, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. It says here in verse 21, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me. In other words, God heard the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah up in heaven, and God had compassion. I believe that God did not want to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He would have preferred to save the cities, but somebody didn't do their job. We're going to get to that. God wanted to save the cities. Nowadays, Sodom is just a byword for filthiness and just horrible sin. But then it was a real city that God wanted to save. The Bible says the cries of the city were up to heaven. Imagine cities like that, how the children must have suffered. Imagine the children of that city. We read the next chapter how the men of the city pounded on the doors for the angels. Imagine in a city like that how the little children must have suffered. And I imagine that God heard the cries of the children of Sodom and Gomorrah, the cries up to heaven. And God said, somebody has to do something. Somebody has to do something for those children. I think God heard the cries of the wives, the battered wives, and the neglected wives, and the mistreated wives in those cities. And God said, somebody has to answer the cry. It's coming to me, the cries of these people. They're crying out for something. They don't even know what they're crying out for or who they're crying out to, but I know what they need. But the word I'm going to call your attention to is they. God called somebody to go there. Somebody didn't do their job. It says in verse 21, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Amen. I don't know who God called there. I think it might have been Lot's family. Now we know that Lot's family went to Sodom and Gomorrah for ulterior motives, for their desire for the world that they obtained in Egypt. But I think it might have been the men in Sodom that God broke Lot's heart. And said, it says in the New Testament that Lot was vexed with the filthy living of the people in Sodom. But I think God wanted him to do something about it. It's one thing to be vexed with the filthiness. It's another thing to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just going to tolerate it. I'm going to try to change it. I'm going to try to help the people. It might have been Lot. It might have been somebody else, like a Jonah situation. I don't know. But they were someone or people or maybe a family that was supposed to go there and make a difference. Make a difference. Possibly like Jonah when he went to Nineveh. But God said, I want to see if they did their job. I want to see if they did what I called them to do. And if they didn't, I'm not going to know it. And there are cities all around this nation, all around this world. There are neighborhoods here in this city that God has called you to. And God's saying, I they're supposed to do. I said they did their job. And it's a hard thing sometimes to light the darkness. It's a hard thing sometimes to go to a place where you're not received or you're mistreated. There in Guadalajara, Mexico, you don't just run down the street at the top and fill up the church. It takes work. You gotta go knock doors. You gotta pray. You gotta fast. You gotta work it. You gotta stand for the people. And there's a lot of crime. The crime's going up constantly. It's been a large spike in this past year. My wife was out soloing on her bus route. Left the car there for half an hour. When she got back, the car had been ransacked. Someone got into it and took all the stuff out. I said, thank God that it didn't happen while my wife was there. My wife got back after it happened. I've been threatened twice at knife point. My wife received a phone call. I was out visiting someone one day, and someone called my wife, and they said they were from the cartel. They said we're from the cartel Nueva Generacion, the new generation cartel, a strong cartel in Guadalajara. Whether it's true or not, we don't know. But just by what they were saying, it was very odd to be a prank. And the man said, is the priest home? That's me. He says, the priest there? My wife said, no, he's not here. My husband's not here. So I didn't speak to Priest Robert. And she said, who is this? He said, I'm such and such from the cartel Nueva Generacion. And he said, well, he's not here. Well, when's he going to be there? I got to speak to him. He said, I don't know. He didn't give me an hour. I need to speak to your husband. I need to speak to the priest. When's he going to get home? My wife was getting nervous, getting scared. So I don't know when he's going to be here. He said, I need to see him because I have to deliver to him personally a document concerning his safety. A document securing his safety. I have to give it to him personally. Well, I said, I don't know when he's coming. I know he's going to be here. My wife hung up. And I called me. I was out in the streets. She said, Robert, she explained the situation. Somebody looking for me. And I just said to myself, should such a man as I flee, I'm going to keep my schedule, everything normal. Of course, we installed security cameras, put in razor wire, put in electric fence, you know, for my family and so forth. But it costs something to take light to the darkness, but it's worth it. If God calls you to do something, you have to do it. When I was 17 years old, one night, I was having my personal devotions in my room. There was no missions conference in the church, no special emphasis for Mexico or missions. I just had my personal devotions a regular night. It was in December, having my devotions in my room. And God came into the room and God spoke to me. God spoke to my heart. And God told me he wanted me to be a missionary in Mexico. God told me that. I didn't have any thought of that before. I never thought about serving God full time. But God told me that's what I need to do. And we're doing it. We're doing it. Someone has to go. Maybe God heard the cry of some people suffering in Mexico. God said, Robert, I'm going to call you. But God, it says that God heard the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, I want to see if they did their job. Now you realize if somebody would have started work in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would not have had to reach many people to save the city. How many people could have saved the city? 10 people. I said, 10 people and I won't destroy the cities. 10 people, 10 righteous people. Imagine someone there, imagine if Lot would have gotten a burden. And Lot would have started talking about the Messiah and righteous living. And if Lot had just gotten one more family saved apart from his family, had his family living godly, another family, the city would have been saved. I wonder how many pastors start churches and think they're failing. Think they're not reaching anybody. When the truth is, that pastor in this little church has saved the city. That city would have been saved with just 10 righteous people. I wonder how many pastors floundering thinking, I'm just reaching a few families, I'm not doing much. When God says, you know what? Those few families that you've reached have saved the city where you're at. But God called somebody to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I want to see if they did their job. I want to see if they've answered the cry. I want to see if they've done something there. And God went and found out that it didn't happen. They didn't do it. They didn't go, or maybe they went and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't go, or they didn't do what they were supposed to do. It's like the story of Jonah. In the Old Testament, we have the story of Jonah. Some people say that the God of the Old Testament wasn't like the God of the New Testament. That the God of the Old Testament wasn't interested in missionary works. I beg to differ. I think the difference was in the Old Testament, the people of God were harder, were a little more, maybe they didn't want to go to other countries. Maybe they didn't want to speak to people of other races about the gospel. But we have the same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just believe that in the Old Testament, God's people weren't as willing to go, like in the New Testament. I don't think it was God changed. I don't think God changed his methods, but God didn't change his methods, just that the people of God were hard. And that's when we have the story of Jonah. You know the story of Jonah. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, to preach. Those wicked, pagan, godless people, God wanted to save them. God didn't want to destroy them, and God called Jonah as a missionary of the Old Testament. You know the story, Jonah didn't want to go. Went down to Joppa to get on a ship, went to Tarshish. I believe Tarshish was Spain. I don't know, you talk to Tim Basker, with 10 different answers. But I believe it was Spain. In the time of the Old Testament, Spain was considered the end of the earth. Some people think it was might have been England. Anyway, but they wanted to go to the end of the earth. Now, I believe that Tarshish in the Old Testament was full of AWOL missionaries. I believe there's a lot of missionaries there. This is when we have the story of Jonah in the Bible to show us what it took for God to get one of his people to go to the mission field in the Old Testament. But we have the story of Jonah. He said, Jonah, don't you go to Nineveh and preach to those pagan people. Preach to them so they can be saved. He didn't want to go. He said, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to go to the end of the earth to run from God. But I believe there was many people that God called, but just Jonah went, maybe a few people that we have registered of. But God will show us that God calls people. God used the cries of the people of the world, and God calls somebody to answer the cry. God used the cries of the little children. God used the little children all over this area, all over this world, crying out. And God calls somebody to go and answer that cry. Let's go to Exodus 22, verse 21. God hears the children. Exodus 22, 21. You come with me some of the time down there to Mexico. And just about every stoplight, a little kid knocks on your window, asking for pesos. Oh, I said the same thing. Because papas, his father's like, where are your parents? Because dangerous little kid out in the streets like that. But what they'll do there, they'll use their kids as a workforce. A Mexican dad will have a lot of kids, and they won't send them to school. The logic is, why send my kids to school? The father says, I only make $8 a day, so instead of sending my kids to school, I'll send them out on the streets begging, or selling bread, or selling donuts, or selling something, some little trinkets. But God hears the cries of the little children. God hears the children. Exodus 22, verse 21. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. I'm sorry, it's verse 22. 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. It's verse 22. Verse 23. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. I will surely hear their cry. And God hears those children crying out. I was born in Chicago, as I mentioned briefly in my introduction. My mom tried to raise her children, you know, in a single-parent home. We didn't have a father. My mom and me and my brothers and sisters, you know how hard that is on a parent. And I was a child, very insecure, very scared. My mom was just struggling. But God sent somebody to reach us. One Saturday morning, two young ladies, two teenagers came to our door, knocked on the door, invited us to ride a bus to church. And I said, a bus to church half an hour away. And mom said, okay, we'll try it out. I went there as a five-year-old boy, and I was saved. I was saved. God hears the children. God hears them. And God wants someone to go reach them with the gospel. Who will go and reach them with the gospel? In Bible college, I remember I had a bus route there in Chicago, the same area I was reached. And I brought the church in my time in Bible college over 1,500 people on my route that I had personally invited to church my time in the Bible college. But who will go and reach the children, little children that are suffering so today, as we mentioned in our song, how the children suffer, how they have to suffer more than in the past. Who will go and reach them in the gospel? Who will care about the children crying out for someone? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? God hears the teenagers. Let's go to Genesis 21, verse 16. God hears the teens all around the world crying out for someone to lead them, crying out for some direction. Why do the teens go to the gangs? Why do they go to the narcos? They want some direction. They just want some leadership. I showed in our video, we have two teen camps every year. I just invite our church teens. Other churches have to take out much. Just our church teens that we have. I plan all the activities. I do all the preaching. I know the kids. I know they grew up with me. I know all their shortcomings and all their strengths. I know how to focus on that. Most of them have been called to the ministry. In our church, we have two teen camps, one in the summer, one in the wintertime. But who's going to reach the teenagers? Who's going to give them some direction? Genesis 21:16. A misconception of this passage, some people casually reading the Bible might think that Ishmael here is a little child. But the truth is, in this passage, Ishmael is a teenager. We believe he's 14 years old, Ishmael, in this passage. It calls him the child, but we believe he's a teenager, he's probably 14 years old. He was a teenager, probably 14 years old in this passage. Genesis 21:16. And she, that's his mom Hagar, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, let me not see the boy, the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, now that's Ishmael, this teenage boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, What is he, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now here we have this teenage boy crying out in agony. And once again, he wasn't calling on the name of the Lord. He was calling out in suffering. But God heard him, and God called to someone out of heaven to help him. And that's how it is today. God hears the teenagers that are suffering. God hears the teenagers that are crying out. God hears teenagers crying out for some direction or for some help or for some love. And God calls on us to answer the cry. Who will go and answer the cry of the teens, the children? Who will answer the cry of the people? Just cry out for someone to help them. Like the city of Jerusalem saying, is it nothing to you? Are you the pacifier? The truth is, we have the answer to the world needs. We have what they're looking for. We have what this old world's looking for. We have the gospel. We have what the world needs. If we just go and give it to them. So with Pastor, I'm an extrovert. For Pastor, I'm not very good at talking to people. That doesn't matter. Moses wasn't either. Look what God did with Moses. Look at people in the Bible that God used greatly. Just some of them do it next to the cry. You knock on that door and you help that family. You help those young people. You help them. They don't care if you're an extrovert or not. They don't care if you're a Bible college graduate or not. They don't care how much education or not you have. It's whether or not you have what they need, and we have it. We have it in our hands, the gospel of Jesus Christ. God hears the cries. Who will go and answer the cry? God hears the adults. God hears the adults. Let's go quickly to Psalm 34:6. Don't forget about the adults. Children, teens, easy to love. Those hard men, they need love too. Those families, they need love. They need someone to care about them, someone to give them direction, someone to guide their family. Psalm 34:6. God hears the cries of the adults. Yes, he hears the children. Yes, he hears the teens, but he hears the adults. He hears them. He calls us to answer the cry. He said, who will go? Who will go to that country? Who will go to that city? Who will go to that street? Who will go to that bus ride? Who will go and answer the cry? God said, I've heard the people. I've heard their suffering. You have what they need. You say, Pastor, don't they need the money? No, money's not the answer. What they need is Jesus Christ. The Mexican people think that their answer is to come here to America. I tell them, I need to stay here and help us. Help us to reach your people in Mexico. Help us to reach your people in Mexico. Don't leave. Stay here and help us reach your people the gospel. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. This poor man cried. I was out Soul Winning just a few blocks away from our church a few months ago. Knocked on the door. Now you have to understand the area we're in is just all Mexicans. And you won't meet. It's like here, you know, people from all different countries of the world, multiple pot. No, it's just pure Mexicans. Now it's very unique name that it's not Mexican, but then it speaks Spanish. It's certainly anybody that speaks English. Very rare. But I was knocking doors, a man came out. The man came out and gave my usual spill. Hola, soy el Pastor Roberto de la Iglesia Bautista Monte Calvario. Y con quien tengo el gusto? I said, hi, I'm Pastor Robert Wilson from the Mount Calvary Baptist Church. And with whom am I speaking? And he shocked me. He said, I'll tell you verbatim what he said to me. He said, hey, man, do you speak English? I said, yes, I do. He said, okay, well, just talking in English. He said, talking in English. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Martin. He said, don't call me Martin. Call me Martin. I'm Martin. Okay, good. Okay. And I had the privilege of leading Martin and his whole family to Christ. There were Americans that were living in Mexico that were brought to Mexico by unfortunate circumstances, against their will, brought back to Mexico. Anyway. But Martin got saved. His whole family got saved. Started coming to church. And just started getting excited about our church. And Martin told me an interesting story. He said, Pastor Robert, we're trying to find a church. We're looking for a church. And he said, we went to the charismatic church. Went to the charismatic church. So I went in. He said, the pastor was walking around blowing on everybody. I said, well, he told me. If I went around blowing on everybody. He said, the pastor blew on you, you had to fall on your back. Fall back was fall on your back. That's not a blowing on people. He said, I told the pastor, he said, Pastor, don't do that to me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Okay. And he said, over there in the corner, there were several people on their hands and knees regurgitating on the floor. He asked the pastor, what's going on over here? What's this? And the pastor told him, oh, they're getting rid of their unclean spirits. They're getting all their unclean spirits out. So this man, Martin, told me, said, Pastor, I was there for 3 hours. The people here falling on their backs, people over here throwing up. He said, the problem is I didn't learn anything. So I didn't learn anything about the Bible the whole time I was there. That's all that was going on. And then he said, Pastor Robert, I went to your church, and in 2 hours, I learned so much Bible, referring to the Sunday school and the morning service. My point is this, there are people out there that are looking. There are people that are searching. And if they'll go to that length to try to find something, imagine what they do with the truth. Someone goes to church, they want to go home with a full tank.
baloney. They want to go to church. They don't want to be entertained. They want to go to church and get something substantial that they can use during the week. That's what the people want. No, they want to be entertained. Too many charismatics entertain the people. That doesn't interest me. I go to church, I want to learn the Bible. I want to go home, being able to tell someone what I learned from the Word of God. Something I have to share with other people. And there's people that are looking, there are people that are crying out for somebody to give them the truth. That's what the people want. Now, but the world offers them a show. The world offers them entertainment. When God says you have the truth in your hand, spread the truth. Spread the Bible. Let the people learn the Bible. Go home with something they've learned, something substantial. For Mark, who started some English classes, said, Pastor, I'd like to learn the Bible in English. Of course, I speak usually 10 times a week in our church, 9 times in Spanish, but now I have 1 time in English. 1 time in English. I started a class in English for some other English people who live around there. But my truth is this, they're crying out for help, the English people. People all over the world cry out for someone that will go and just give them the Word of God, just teach them the truth, just help them a little bit, and you can do it too. You can do it. You can do your part. God says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and see whether they did what they're supposed to do. If they didn't do it, I'm not going to know. And if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God's going to know it. He knows it. He knows what he wants you to do. Everybody has a part. Of course, me, is to be there in Guadalajara, Mexico, winning souls, starting churches, that's my part. But every Christian has their part, their place, and God wants to know if you do your part. Let's finish where we started. Let's go back to Lamentations chapter 1. We'll finish. Lamentations 1, verse 16. Lamentations 1, verse 16. Have you done your part? Have you done what God has called you to do? If God calls you to the mission field, you should go. If God calls someone in your family to go, your children to go, let them go. What history has shown us, when a nation will go through its populace and select the best families and lift them up to God and say, God, here's the cream of the crop. These are the best families we have. Of course, they can do a lot here in our country, but we heard there's a lost and dying world, and we're giving you these families to go around the world to preach the gospel. What history has shown us, what history has taught us, when a nation will do that, God, in turn, blesses that nation. God will give that nation pastors. God will give that nation revival. That doesn't only apply to a nation, it applies to a church. It applies to a family. Let them go. I told my mom when I was 17, God's called me to go to Mexico to preach. And my mom said, Robert, you're going to live my dream. You're going to live my dream. She knew she wouldn't see me very much. She wouldn't see her grandchildren very much. But she graciously let us go. But once again, Lamentations 1, verse 16. Let's finish where we started. This is what the world cries out. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water, because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. My children are desolate because the enemy prevailed. We have to get there before the enemy prevails, before the children are desolate, and make a difference in this old sin-sick world. Who will know? Who will answer the cry of God? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this great church, for these great people, your people. Thank you for allowing me to speak to them this morning. And Holy Spirit, pray you take over for the end, for the invitation time, this time of invitation. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and say, Pastor Robert, God spoke to me. Maybe God wants you to do more. Maybe there's a bus shop you could work on. Maybe there's an area where you can go. Maybe there's a city where God's calling you to preach, just like God called me to Guadalajara. Just like he called Jonah to Nineveh. Maybe there's a city that you could save. I'm a pastor. It's God that does it. God just uses us. We're just the instruments. But anybody here say, God, Pastor Robert, God spoke to me. Pray for me, Pastor Robert. I'll pray for you. I'll count on that. Okay? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I ask for you all to stand. Are you all stand, please? Would you all stand? All stand. I ask the pianist to begin to play the invitation. And we're going to start the invitation. If you'd like to come, will you hear the cry of that battered woman, that battered city? Is it nothing to you all you that pass by? You live in a world of comfort. Maybe God wants you to be uncomfortable a little bit. Leave your comfort zone. Maybe just one day a week. Or maybe God's calling you for life. Leave your comfort zone. Go to another country, preach the gospel. Go to another city. preach the gospel to somebody. My heart broke. A couple weeks ago there in New York City. Where are the pastors? Where are the churches? Where are they? Millions of people. Yes, there's some, but imagine this world. Who would go? People crying out. And we have what they need. We have the answer. We have the truth. We have the gospel. Who will go? Who will answer the cry? The world cries out, is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? Look how I'm suffering. Look how I'm hurting. And here we stand with the bandages, the spiritual bandages, the spiritual remedy, the spiritual medicine that they need. Will we not impart? Will we not give? Will we not help them? Will we not bandage them up? We can bandage the spiritual wounds. You can help that hurting teenager. You can help that hurting child. You can help that hurting mother. You can help that hurting father. You can help them. You can help them. Wednesday, we're heading back to Mexico to do what God's called us to do. You do what God's called you to do. God will bless you.
Pray. There's plenty of time for anybody else who wants to come, so just be mindful and respectful of that. It's been very good to have Brother Robert and his family with us today. Be in prayer for them as they go back. They have a table set up back here at the church, so that if y'all want to go by and get a prayer card, pray for them, get some information about their ministry, that'd be a blessing. After church, Bella, does Bella still need to talk to Miss Kim?
Yes.
Okay. She'll meet you right there right now. She's coming right now. All right. Y'all have a wonderful evening. There'll be some of you that won't be able to make it back because of the graduation commitments. I think the Douglas is already away today. Others that won't be able to make it. But if you can make it, we'd love to have you come back here at 6 o'clock, 5:15, Brother Bill, y'all have your practice. 5:15 will be instrumental practice. 6 o'clock will be prayer time and choir practices. And then we'll have our evening service at 6:30.
The kids are out for the summer for my part of it.
Okay, no youth choir, Sister Lois. Beautiful girlhood next Sunday. So no youth choir, Sister Dyer. Kids next Sunday? This Sunday. Okay, kids practice this Sunday. All right, we get a little wacky around here come summertime, so just stay with it and stay focused. And God has been good to us this week, and so praise God for a good house of worship presence today. Appreciate you being here. Father, we love you. We pray, God, you bless as we go our way. Bless the Wilson family as they serve you in Mexico. God, our other missionaries are on the foreign fields, and those are even in different states. We pray, God, you bless them with fruit for their labor. Protect them. Lord, give them wisdom beyond their ability and years to be able to share your word. We thank you for our church and our church family and those that are here today. We pray for those that are sick and away. Those that cannot be here because of other commitments, we pray that you bless them. Help us, Lord, this day to honor you with all we have within us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.